Look alive! Look alive!
Rachel was killed in a plane.
Here we are. Here we are talking about family fire safety. As we've been mentioning the last 2 hours, Arizona does have the designation of being absolutely one of the safest states in the entire union for civilian deaths in their homes. Unfortunately, it doesn't counteract the statistic that 4 out of 5 deaths by fire are unfortunately occur right in your own home. So we're using this particular Saturday to encourage all of our Arizona listeners to make a New Year's resolution. Let's get it done this weekend. Let's do an assessment of the condition of the fire safety in, out, and about our home and take a couple steps to improve the situation. We've talked about fire extinguishers, fire sprinklers, smoke detectors, smoke alarms, escape plans. In a few minutes, we're going to bring in Mr. Rick Chase, fire marshal with Central Yavapai Fire District, to talk about fireplace and chimney maintenance, as well as defensible safe zones around your house. And again, we want to talk about evacuation plans, because an evacuation plan for a house on a hillside in Walker, with the back deck 30 feet off the ground, should be a lot different than a slab-on-grade home in Avondale.
That's when you get zip lines and bounce houses at the base of the...
We'll find out. We'll be bringing Rick into the conversation here shortly. Yes, sweetheart. What you got? Miss Jennifer. Sweet Jennifer.
I do have one more stat I found. It just says that 2/3 of home fire deaths are a result of not having a smoke alarm or having one that isn't working. So on Facebook, we always put out the topic for the week, and Miss Tanya from Goodyear is a fire safety educator, and she just said to be sure to mention that we should all have fire smoke detectors in our bedroom, and especially ones that are both ionization and photoelectric. And the ionization type is better detector of flames. The photoelectric is better detector of just the smoke and stuff. So if you have both kinds, then you'll be better covered. And then also, there's a new generation of smoke detectors.
Yeah,
and
I bet there is.
Well, there's one called by the Nest company, and it
Nest, N-E-S-T, Nest.
Mm-hmm, and they're trying to make appliances and things like this more attractive.
Okay.
But it also has the feature you can have a voice tell you, get up, get out, get out, get out. And it also will talk to your smartphone. So if you're not even home and it goes off, you can know something's going on. And it's real easy to turn off. If you know how you have those false alarms, you just wave at it and it'll stop instead of banging it and knocking the battery out like we've done in the kitchen before.
at 2:30 in the morning. When you can't get it to go off.
Well, when they go off like that, you have a tendency to take the battery out because you don't want to mess with it. But this one,
and
then you just
hang. And it's so pretty, hanging from the ceiling like that on the end of the wires.
And it's pretty reasonable, $129. So
okay.
Not bad.
Nest. Smartphone compatible. Now, is that a smoke detector or is that a smoke alarm?
I do believe it is a smoke detector.
Not right.
The sun will stop. It will not rise if you get that wrong.
Well, it calls it a smoke alarm, so there
okay.
you go.
All right. Well, it must detect it before it can alarm it. Doesn't it? That's why I use them interchangeably. But I guess technically when I use those two terms interchangeably, I am breaking some fire safety protocol, and I don't want to do that. So again, thank you to the listener in Green Valley that corrected us. We'll do our best to continue the ongoing education of Rosie Romero. Right now, let's bring Rick Chase into the conversation. Again, it's the fire marshal from the Central Yavapai Fire District, and I particularly wanted to bring Rick into the conversation today. They deal with different levels of fire safety, different components, in particular fireplaces and chimneys, and many of the homes up in the Yavapai County, Coconina County, are nestled right in tight against the National Forest, where we could experience some combustible materials right up close to the house. I want to talk about defensible and safe zones. And again, I'd like to visit with Rick about evacuation plans, especially in particular for maybe some of those hillside homes. Rick, welcome to Rosie on the House. And again, thank you for taking your personal time off on Saturdays to join us.
Absolutely. Good morning, Rosie. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, man. Well, we appreciate it. Listen, as the article in the Arizona Republic today kind of mentions on the fireplace and maintenance, there's a lot of communities in Arizona where, it's virtually outlawed to have wood-burning fires. Everybody has to convert to the gas logs, and they think they don't have to clean their chimney anymore. But before we go to gas log maintenance, let's talk about wood-fired fireplaces and chimneys. What are the dilemmas y'all see up in Yavapai and Coconino County?
Sure, yeah, this time of year really is when we try to you know, get the word out to folks that if you do have a fireplace or a wood stove, any kind of a wood burning, you know, type of a stove, that you annually have that chimney or the flues checked and or cleaned if they need it. You know, over the course of the wintertime, the creosote and the soot will build up in the piping, and what it does is it will eventually just keep coating it, and it gets thicker and thicker. Then when it gets to a certain temperature, that can reignite and actually start a fire up in the flue itself. So we always like to, you know, have people get the word out, please have your fireplace, you know, your chimney, your flues inspected, have them cleaned. That will help prevent that kind of a thing from happening. And a lot of times the flue piping could come apart where it goes from the fireplace up to the attic, and the heat can escape from there, which can then heat up the trusses in the attic. And I've seen fires start from that happening as well.
Well, and then how about that, you know, we're probably past this point, but that first fire of the season, you never really know that something maybe hasn't obstructed your flue, or make sure you know the open and closed position of your closable damper for sure.
Absolutely. Always keep that damper open when you have a fire. Once that's closed, all that heat and all that smoke and all the fire gases just sit there and they settle throughout the house. So, yeah, we always like to recommend as well having a CO detector if you have a fireplace or a wood-burning stove in the home. Just another safety precaution to take on top of having a regular smoke detector in the house as well.
Well, there's a couple of things you can do for fireplace and chimney. And also, those also refer to, you can take those precautions to any open flame you have in the house, the water heater, the furnace, the kitchen appliances. You know, check them and verify them. If one of those are beginning to blow out in a breeze, or there's the pilot lights are staying hard to stay lit, there's a possible malfunction that's beginning to develop in those appliances, and don't risk it. Go ahead and get it checked. So those are the things we want you to check in the house. Rick, what can you tell folks about that ever-important defensible perimeter?
Yes, that's a big one up here as well. And real quick, before we get off the subject of fireplaces, I always like to hit on is the ash removal from the fireplaces, the importance of putting it into a proper container, such as a metal can. Douse it with water, let it sit away from any combustibles. I've seen several fires happen year after year from ashes getting put close to the home, and it can catch the siding on fire, catch the deck on fire. So that was the other thing I wanted to get across on fireplaces.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Absolutely.
Thank you. That's why we brought Rick Chase in from, he is the fire marshal for the Central Yavapai Fire District. Now, that's fire safety inside the house. Let's move to that outside perimeter of the house.
Absolutely. Yeah, up here in the Prescott area, we definitely harp on defensible space. You know, a lot of folks, you know, they live up in the mountains. It's beautiful. You've got the pine trees around you. But, of course, you know, you have all that beauty, but you also have the danger that comes along with it. So, you know, we go out and we give property assessments and show people. We like to teach them to keep about 30 to 50 feet around their house with the defensible space. And what that means is cleaning up the pine needles, cleaning the pine needles out of the gutters, off the ground, off the roof of the home, you know, taking your vegetation that's dried out or dead and getting rid of it, removing it off the property, and bushes and shrubs and stuff that are real thick, thin them out, and what we say is kind of create like islands of vegetation. And what that does is it keeps the fire from moving from one to another all the way up to someone's home. And it still keeps the beauty, but it also provides a space that will keep the fire from being able to travel from, you know, one combustible bush or tree to another.
Boy, and just as a civilian who loves to travel Arizona, really knows nothing about the specialty of what y'all have to deal in. I mean, I saw the bark beetle die off in Prescott Valley, Walker, Wagner, you know, and that through the late 90s and the early part of the 21st century just had to be an exasperation of what y'all were trying to get people to do. I mean, it was heartbreaking to see all the trees we lost to the bark beetle through that drought period.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of folks that live in the forest, they have these trees still on their property, and so if they're able to get them removed, it just gets rid of one dead, dry tree that will, you know, ignite much easier than a tree that is, you know, it's wet, it's feeding properly, and it's healthy. It will have a less chance to burn as the dead tree will.
Rick, real quick, we talked with evacuation plans with our friend from the Tucson Fire Department and the Glendale Fire Department. I'm thinking that maybe if you're in one of those hillside homes, the thinking and the processes and the planning for evacuation might be a little bit different than one of these slabs on grades in the middle of the desert. Talk through evacuation plans.
Absolutely. Anybody that lives borders in the forest, you know, or anywhere, actually, you need an evacuation plan. And typically up in the forest, you need to have that escape route where if a fire was going to come and, you know, you're able to get your belongings and get out safely and quickly from your home, you know, and having that defensible space could keep the fire from reaching your home while you are escaping. And, you know, of course, you want to be able to get away from the home, you know, prior to the fire getting anywhere close to it. You know, and typically in our area and other areas such as, you know, that are like ours, you know, we work real tight with law enforcement. Anytime there's a large fire, evacuation procedures come well ahead of time to get neighborhoods and people out of their homes, you know, before the fire gets even close. But part of the evacuation is having folks have their important items with them, such as medications, you know, money items, licenses, credit cards, things like that, that you don't want to just run out and say, oh, shoot, that's in the house. So if you do live in an area like that and summer is coming, wildfire season, you know, try to have that stuff in one area so you can quickly grab it. You know, important photos and documents and stuff like that is a great idea to be able to get out along with while you evacuate.
Well, Rick, we certainly appreciate you joining us here at Rosie on the House and sharing with listeners all over the state of Arizona the guidance and the tips that you bring at, with your experience as the fire marshal of Central Yavapai Fire District. Thanks a bunch for joining us this Saturday morning. I hope we didn't impose on your family time too much. Please thank them for their generosity in sharing you with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Rosie. I appreciate it.
All right, my friend. Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, man. Well, we've gone a long ways. Jennifer, one of the things, you know, you were kind of polishing off the movie camera the other night, talking about, you know, maybe it's time to redocument our possessions in the home and the rental house and the
office.
Well,
after Christmas is always a good time.
Yeah.
With all the new little things you get.
One of the things Rick was talking about there is make sure you're documented. And, you know, every couple of years, it seems like you're taking out the movie camera and you go room by room, wall by wall, open the drawers, open the cabinets, you know, get pictures of contents of all those storage units inside your house, get documentation of the valuables that may be in a safe somewhere. Don't forget to get pictures of those. Be talking into the movie camera the entire time as to when you thought you acquired that, about how much you paid for it. Document invoices and statements and appraisals if you have them. Get all that in on film and make sure you store it off-site. It doesn't do you any good if you keep it right there in the house. Hey, it's Rosie on the House. We're going to take our last break, come back for the final segment, and we always talk about staycations. I've got a very special one. I want to talk to the women of Arizona in particular when we get back.